ExxonMobil's bid, on that summer's day in 2009, was the product of 6 years of patience, lobbying, and a willingness within the corporation's leadership to work at times outside of the normal ExxonMobil playbook. The uniqueness of Iraq's position as a war-scarred oil giant that had vast reserves and easy export routes demanded creativity. It also required a subtle understanding of the ways that Iraq's oil future would run through Washington. On July 26, 2006, a typically hot and muggy summer's day in the American capital, Oliver Zandona, who followed Iraq oil issues in ExxonMobil's K Street office, arrived at 1000 Independence Avenue, the headquarters of the United States Department of Energy. George W. Bush's friend and Secretary of Energy, Sam Bodman, had arranged a meeting between Iraq's visiting Minister of Oil, Hussein al-Sharistani, a gray-bearded Shia politician, and representatives of major oil companies, both American and European. Zandona and other oil company representatives peppered Sharistani with questions about whether Iraq might finally pass a law specifying the legal rights of international companies and when it might be in a position to provide adequate security. They advocated production-sharing agreements and stressed that certainty and consistency in laws and stable taxing regimes are important, according to minutes of the session. Sharistani said he was hopeful that partnerships with international oil giants might soon be possible. He had a message, however. The oil companies should not talk about contracts to anyone in the Iraqi government or in Iraq's diverse political parties, but him, the ministry official in charge. Companies should not attempt to cut side deals that were not directly negotiated by the oil ministry. Sharistani raised his index finger in the air. "Clean games, gentlemen," he told the company lobbyists and executives. "Clean games." It was an aspiration, at least. Zandona helped to shape ExxonMobil's basic strategy for Iraq after the 2003 invasion. Essentially, the strategy was to wait out the war and maintain a healthy public distance from the quickly tainted Bush administration, while also remaining in close private contact with American officials to stay up to date and to push for policy that would lead to foreign investment in Iraq's oil fields. "From Exxon's perspective, Iraq is the last of the easy oil," said a State Department official who interacted with the corporation frequently. Immediately after the U.S.-led invasion, ExxonMobil and other international companies bought or lifted Iraqi crude at southern terminals at the head of the Persian Gulf. These direct oil sales to well-known international oil companies were designed and authorized by the Bush administration's occupation authority in Baghdad, the Coalition Provisional Authority. Saddam Hussein's regime had sold oil legally under the United Nations Oil for Food program, although many of these deals were compromised by payoffs and corruption, and also off the books by smuggling through middlemen. When the United States established power in Baghdad, its occupation leaders wanted to assure Iraqis that the days of Saddam Hussein's shady oil smuggling and corruption were over, and that profits from Iraqi crude would not be skimmed off by fly-by-night traders and middlemen. Iraq did not have the capacity to ship its own oil to spot markets in Europe, where cargoes of oil were bought and sold for cash, or to refinery customers in Asia. Its oil had to be sold to middlemen for onward sale. The post-war oil sales to well-known Western oil companies benefited ExxonMobil's downstream and oil trading operations, but the margins on such trades were thin, and the deals were a far cry from the big and profitable prize of owning a piece of Iraq's upstream oil production over the long run. As it sold ExxonMobil Iraqi crude in 2003, the Bush administration also urged the corporation to open a Baghdad office to lend support and credibility to what its occupation leaders hoped, naively, would be a rapidly normalizing country. Lee Raymond declined. By October of that year, violence was spreading across Iraq. The Coalition Provisional Authority increasingly was not in a position to make international oil deals. It was struggling to provide Iraq with adequate supplies of gasoline and electricity. An Iraqi government that would be credible enough with the Iraqi people to bargain on a subject of such symbolic and material importance as oil production partnerships with foreign companies looked a long way off. "If you don't feel like you can protect your people, if you put them in a position where they are really vulnerable, then you don't have any business being there," recalled Lee Raymond. "It just seemed for a time, with everything going on in Iraq, it would be a long time before anybody could meet the threshold of putting people in there." The corporation ran a regional office in Amman, Jordan, where Iraqi businessmen and refugees gathered as the war darkened, and another in Dubai. ExxonMobil used this forward position to monitor events and meet with Iraqi officials and executives from its historically state-owned oil companies. The corporation hired a retired U.S. Army colonel who had run security for the oil policy section of the Coalition Provisional Authority to help advise on security decisions. In Houston, Scott Ingersoll, who ran ExxonMobil's Iraq program, assembled a team of experts, including former Bush administration officials who had learned about Iraq's oil during the war, lawyers, business development specialists, and political risk analysts. If and when there was a way in, they would be ready to move quickly. ExxonMobil had scant knowledge about the leading executives and managers in Iraq's decaying oil industry. Aging technocrats, many trained in the United States, the United Kingdom, and Europe before Saddam Hussein's coup, ran oil production, but they had been isolated and monitored by Saddam, who distrusted all but his most loyal clansmen. The corporation used these initial years of the war to gradually rebuild personal contacts within the Iraqi oil sector, particularly with senior technicians trained in the West, and with promising younger engineers who wanted up-to-date training on technologies that Saddam Hussein's Iraq had missed. In 2005, spurred by the Bush administration, Iraq signed memoranda of understanding with about 30 international oil companies, including ExxonMobil. The companies agreed to provide training to Iraqi oil technicians and to carry out studies about how the levels of Iraqi oil production might be raised in particular fields. "Basically," said an American official involved in constructing these initial deals, "ExxonMobil and its American and European peers told the Iraqis, 'We're going to spend $20 million on you guys over the next years. All you need to give us is people. What's in it for us? Well, hopefully we can develop a relationship with you, impress you with what we've got, and do business in the future.'